Well, I'd like to give you a very warm welcome to our evening service here. Whether you're a visitor joining us here, we're very grateful to have you here and hope you've been encouraged with the ministry that you've heard today. And if you're joining online, it's really good to have you join us as well. Just a couple of notices before we start. One is we do have refreshments afterwards, so if you are able to, you know, join us to have refreshments next door. There's teas, coffees and biscuits. And it's a good time to have fellowship together. So I encourage you to stay along for some refreshments. And then a couple of reminders. Firstly, to the women for the barbecue on Wednesday. If anyone hasn't signed up, you know, I'm sure there's still room to fit more people in. It's 7 p.m. down here and Faith Summers is speaking. Also, just a reminder to those who are members here, or if you're not, that we do have home groups on Thursday. And again, if you aren't in a home group, speak to one of the elders here. And they can point you in the right direction to put you into a home group. They're really encouraging times together. And then just a quick one, we have ACE in action on Friday. And I think on the flyer, the times are a little bit wrong. So the times are actually 7 till 8.30. So that's an encouraging time. But if you aren't able to make any of them, one thing that you can all do, we can pray for these events, can't we? And it's really lovely to know that when these events are taking place, that we have people there praying for them. I'm just going to read quickly a verse, and it says here in Psalms, it says, "The steps of man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand." And isn't that an encouragement, isn't it? That when we stumble, it's the Lord that upholds us and holds our hand and brings us through. And that's a real encouragement. Shall we just pray before we start? Almighty and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are a God that is with his people. That whatever trial or tribulation we go through, Lord, that you are there. And whether we do trip or stumble, you are the one that holds us up again. Lord, we just thank you so much that as we go through our walk in life, Lord, we can be assured that we have someone who sticks so close to us, who loves us so much and helps and guides us on our way. And Lord, we just pray now that as we begin this evening service, Lord, that you would be with us now, that anything that might be distracting us in our minds may be taken away from us. Lord, that you would help us to all focus on the message that we're about to hear this evening. And we pray all this in your precious name. Amen. And just before we sing, I'd just like to give a warm welcome again to Andrew King, who's a pastor at Highbury Baptist Chapel, and it's I was speaking to him just a minute ago about what an encouragement was, that message we heard this morning about being salt and light in the places where we are. And it's a call to stir us up as well, isn't it? Because I know I'm so often can be sort of like blend into the background myself. But we are called to be in the place where we are, aren't we? And we are called to be salt and light and to shine that light on people around us. I think that's a real encouragement. So we're really looking forward to hearing what else you have to speak to us on this evening. So we're going to sing our first hymn this evening, and it is Great is Thy Faithfulness. And when the music starts, please stand. Well, our passage we're going to be reading this evening is in 1 Peter. It's going to be in 1 Peter 5, and it's verses 1 to 11, and you can find that on page 1016. And the title for this message that Andrew's speaking on this evening is called Drawing Comfort from God. So 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 11. So I exhort the old elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercise in oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We look forward to hearing Andrew preach on that passage a little bit later. But before then, we're going to stand and sing again, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. So again, please stand when the music starts. we bow our heads now? Shall we pray to God? What a privilege it is to be able to pray to our Father in heaven. Lord, what a privilege it is that as we pray to you, as we speak and talk to you, your ears are always open to your people. We thank you so much that even as you look down on us, we're just like grasshoppers to you, yet you love and care about each and every single one of us. You can number each hair on our head. It's just amazing to even think about that. Yet you love each one of us. Lord, we come before you now and we thank you so much for all you do for us day by day. And yet so often, Lord, we forget to thank you for many, many things. We forget to put you first before all things that happen in our lives. Yet we know that all things work through you. Lord, we thank you so much for the grace that you've shown each and every single one of us. Each one of us who knows you personally by name has been called out of darkness, has been brought into that light through that precious blood that your Son, the Lord Jesus, shed on the cross. Lord, what a wonderful gift that was given to us. And I just pray that this week as we go into it, Lord, that we could be that salt and that light that we were hearing about this morning. Lord, we pray that you would bless us with your Holy Spirit, that you would open up opportunities to us to shine that light on folk around and about us. And Lord, we pray that as we show that light and we show that salt, Lord, that we will reflect Jesus Christ in the things we say and the attitudes that we have and the way that we behave. Lord God, we just thank you so much that in these matters, Lord, there's nothing impossible with you. Lord, we might shy away from some things that we think are too big for us to do. We might shy away from people that we feel that we can't talk to them about you because they won't want to know, they will reject us. But we need to remember that you are the God of miracles. You are the God of that Bible that we read day by day. You are that wonderful living God who performs such great things, and nothing is too great for you. And I just pray that as opportunities do arise, Lord, that you would strengthen us and encourage us to take those opportunities to speak about you and to shine your light. Lord God, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for our Rooted and for our Thrive with the children and the teenagers coming in. Lord, what a privilege it is to be able to speak to those folks about you. Lord, we're able to open our doors up week by week. We're able to speak freely to share that gospel message with them. And Lord, we just pray that in their young lives, Lord, that you would work with your Holy Spirit, that you'd be moulding and shaping them. And Lord, that you would give them a desire to want to follow you. Lord, that you would show them your love. You would show them how merciful and how full of grace you are. And that even in a young age, they'd want to turn to follow you. Lord, we pray for all of those that teach in those classes as they're taught, Lord. And we pray that you'd encourage them. Lord, they show such love and encouragement to the children and the teenagers. They give up so much of their time and energy. And Lord, we just pray that as they do this week by week, that you'd keep encouraging them, keep on strengthening them. And Lord, we pray that they would find such encouragement from the things that they are studying to teach these children and teenagers to. Lord, we thank you so much for events that we can put on here. Lord, we thank you so much how we can open the doors up to have events that have taken place here. And we especially think of that barbecue on Wednesday as Faye comes to speak. And we do pray that as those women come, Lord, that they enjoy fellowship together and good times and fun and food and drink. But most importantly, as they hear that message, we pray that you'd help them to listen, to understand, and that it would affect many people who hear it. Lord, we don't know the hearts of those women that will be coming that don't know you, Lord, but you do. And I just pray that even now that you'd be preparing their hearts to meet and listen and to hear that word on Wednesday. And I pray for the women here that have invited people or are going to be speaking to people there to really encourage them to mix and to get alongside people there that maybe they haven't spoken to before, Lord. Help them to show that love of Christ through their actions and their words, we do pray. And Lord, we do consider ACE as well, Lord, and Action on Friday, and we pray for that event. We know that there are many that are coming to ACE and Action that don't come regularly here. And Lord, we'd love to see them join our Thrive. And we just pray that as they come on Friday, that they'd have fun and enjoyment, that they would be kept safe. But we pray as they hear that message, it would have an effect on them. that they'd want to go home and speak to their parents and tell them they'd like to come and hear more down here at Thrive, Lord. What an encouragement that would be. And we know that is not impossible for you. I pray for all those that are helping on that event as well to get alongside and the children as well, to be real fun characters for them to play the games and have enjoyment with, but also to maybe even have a word about the talk that has been spoken, Lord, to hear and to speak and to help them to understand what it means. Lord God, we pray for any here that are unwell at this time and not able to join with us. We know that there are many that haven't been with us for many months, even years, Lord, but listen online, and we pray for them. Lord, over the years, there have been such stalwarts in our church here, such encouragers and such prayer warriors for us, Lord, and we pray that you would be with them at this time. Lord, even as they are getting weaker, Lord, we know that it won't be long before they are home in glory with you, which is far better, and we thank you for that. But we pray that the examples that they have shown us over so many years, Lord, will be an encouragement to all of us as well. Lord, how they have shown the love of Christ through the way that they have lived their lives too, and we thank you for them. And Lord God, we just come before you now, and we pray for Andrew as he comes to speak to us again this evening, Lord. What an encouragement that was this morning. Not just an encouragement, but it was a bit of a stir up to us all as well, isn't it? I know myself, like I said, I can sometimes fade away in the background and not say things when opportunities arise, Lord. But I just pray that this week that many of us here will remember that message we heard this morning and show that light of Christ in our lives around the people in and amongst us. But we pray for Andrew now as he speaks to us, Lord. We pray that you would speak through him, that he would really encourage each and every single one of us, be a real blessing to us all. And we pray all this in your precious name. Amen. So before Andrew comes and speaks to us, we're going to sing our third song now, Lord Be My Vision. And please stand again when the music starts.
Well, can I say thank? I know you didn't really invite me, you or somebody did, but thank you so much for inviting me to be here. It's been a really joyful day, a really sweet time with you all. And actually thinking back 40-odd years ago when I was here as a teenager, not a Christian, not interested at all, there was something compelling about this church as I think about it. The love, the generosity. And so it's really wonderful to be here 40 years later and to see that continuing. Isn't God good, keeping you faithful, loving witness here in Crowborough? Lovely to be with you today, to meet many of you briefly and to share fellowship. Let's turn then to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to focus in on verses 5 to 7, drawing comfort from God. How was your journey? Was the question. When they finally arrived in New York, Alice and Kate just flopped down in the hotel lobby. Manhattan would have to wait. The immediate mission was to get into their rooms and be rid of their luggage. You see, Alice and Kate were sisters, and they had saved up for a once-in-a-lifetime trip to see the sights of New York. Delayed because of COVID, but then they'd been able to go. How was your journey? Was the question that the receptionist asked them. Good question to ask. But their different answers puzzled the receptionist. Had they really travelled together? You see, Alice, she was utterly exhausted. She'd already asked for painkillers for a headache. She said that the flight had been awful. She was convinced the guy in front was a terrorist. The food was horrid. And the ride from the airport to the hotel, well, she was sure they were ripped off. It wasn't a licensed taxi. And that was all on the back of last night. She hadn't slept at all. Thinking, have we allowed enough time to get to the airport with rush hour? Have we packed everything? Is the passport, the paperwork? Will she get deep vein thrombosis on the flight? Oh, she was a wreck. But Kate said to the receptionist, yeah, lovely. She'd slept well the night before. That both of them, sisters, had prayed. Believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, they've prayed. Lord, thank you for this wonderful opportunity to see a world city. Lord, go with us. They prayed together. Kate had been prudent, set a second alarm just to be careful. But she'd slept, woken up. She knew the taxi driver knew the back route. And on the flight, she'd watched a movie, enjoyed the chicken biryani, and she just slept most of the way into New York. How was your journey? Very different answers. I wonder whether anyone here can identify with what I'll call anxious Alice. By the way, I'm sorry if you're called Alice. I know it's a bad one, isn't it? But sorry, it's an illustration. Are you like anxious Alice? Do you want to be more like calm Kate? That's the thing I want you to have as an idea, an organising idea in your heads as we head out. You see, two different people, both Christians, and I mean pucker, born again Christians, can experience the same events so differently, can't they? Do you identify with that? Is anyone going to, you're with me, yeah? The same events can have such a different impact on different people, which proves that whilst the events are necessary to bring out stress and anxiety, they're not sufficient. Because how could two people experience the same things and have different reactions? You see, some things will cause stress, but they aren't the cause of stress. Because in those moments, other things are going on in our minds. We're asking, what do we believe about ourselves? What do we believe about others? And supremely, what do we believe about God? In that moment. Because it's one thing to sit here in a chapel building on a Sunday evening and confess that Jesus is Lord. God is sovereign. And sing it out. All my times are in his hand. We can do that. But then 2 days later, we experience something. And what we're thinking, what we're believing is quite different. Is anyone with me there? I have these experiences. Yeah. I confess to being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I confess that I trust that he has all things covered. I'm guaranteed. I'm sealed by his blood. I have his righteousness. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. And yet, things can happen that really rock me. What am I believing in that moment about myself? What am I believing in that moment about others? More importantly, what am I believing about God? We need to make sure that the truths we confess sink deep into our minds so that we can banish the remaining lies that we believe. We all still believe a lot of lies, don't we? Maybe because of flaws in our personality. It may be because of bad things that have happened to us and scarred us. It may be that we've just been poorly taught. But we need to take hold of God's word more deeply in our souls if we are going to experience and draw comfort from God. Now, we've zoomed straight into this reading, so let me just remind you of the context. Peter here is writing to Christians who have been scattered across the Roman Empire in the first century. In his letter, he begins by reminding them that although their salvation is guaranteed, they themselves will be severely tested. Chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's how he starts out his letter. If you want to rework my opening illustration, Peter is saying, you will definitely land safely, but it's going to be a turbulent flight. That's the Christian life, guys. Yeah? You will land safely, but it will be a turbulent flight. God does not promise you an easy Christian life, but he promises you that you will be victorious in the end. And so what Peter was saying to those first generation of Christians can now be summed up in that famous poster. Maybe you've seen it, maybe you've got it. Keep calm and carry on living the normal Christian life. That's it. Keep calm and carry on living the normal Christian life. In chapter 3, he writes about marriage. They were thinking about quitting that. Some of them had thought that Jesus was coming tomorrow, so why bother? No. Keep living, keep getting married and having family life. In chapter 4, he talks about hospitality. Don't retreat like we thought this morning, but have one another around, and particularly have others around as you have opportunity. In chapter 5 here, he says continue to gather as God's people. Don't quit as church. Don't quit as a community. And so as we break into our verses, Peter is giving practical instruction on how to live under pressure, how to live when it's stressful, so that you might draw comfort from God. So that's the context of these verses very quickly. So I've got four things to highlight for you. The first thing is this. Be humble. If you would have peace and draw comfort from God, brother, sister, be humble. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Back in Proverbs, we're told, towards the scorners, the Lord is scornful, but to the humble, he gives favour. God is against the proud, but positively, he gives grace. He is for the humble. So we might say, why be proud? But isn't that our besetting sin? Isn't that so often our problem? We are prideful. Verses 1 to 4, Peter teaches church elders to be humble in their leadership. Handle your authority carefully. And then in verse 5, he teaches younger members to be humble to older. But then Peter expands that and says, well, actually, do you know, all of you need to be humble. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. But what is humility? Do you know? What is it? Tim Keller has an excellent little book called The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness. Have you seen that? And the picture is a big, big brick wall with a tiny mirror. The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness. That is what humility is. Some people mistake it. They think, oh, humility is thinking less of myself. Always apologising. Sorry that I take up any space. Sorry that I even exist. Uriah Heep, if you know him from Dickens, David Copperfield, oh, ever so humble. Of course, he wasn't at all, was he? Ever so humble. Cheeky, crafty man. That's not humility. You know, there was a former church member at Highbury, and she came up to me and said, you know, Pastor, I think I should stop trying to organise such and such. I really don't think I'm any good at it. I said, you're right, sister. I think that's a great idea. Looked at me. What are you saying? See? She wanted a backhanded compliment. She wanted me to stroke. Oh, no, you're really good at it. She was useless. She couldn't organise. And it didn't matter. Because it's not a sign of godly living to be able to organise, is it? It's a gift some people have. And she had an insight there. I can't do this. And it was painful trying to watch her try. But when I... she's trying to be all humble. Oh, I'm not very good at it, am I? She wasn't really, was she? She wanted that... stroking of the hair. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's not doing yourself down. It's just not always talking about yourself. It's thinking less about yourself. You see, pride says, notice me, listen to me, praise me. I'm the one talking. I'm the hero of every situation. I'll turn the conversation towards me. And that's exhausting. You don't get comfort that way. The narcissist is always restless, keeping up the image. Gosh, isn't there a problem on Facebook trying to work out your public profile and keep yourself looking right? Exhausting. Don't be like that as a Christian. Don't try and stoke up a public image. The irony is that God opposes that, and he gives grace to the humble. Peter says that if we are humble towards God, then that's the way that we'll then be humble towards one another. Of course, it might seem frightening because we're told, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. I wonder what that makes you think of, a mighty hand of God. But it's the mighty hand of a loving Father, not of an angry God who's against you. God is not against you, brother, sister. He's your Father. He's for you. God has saved you. It's like being under a rock It's like being in a place of supreme safety. You've got the mighty hand of God, not to crush you, but to protect you. Don't ever confuse that. God is for you. Humble yourselves under him. He has your back. He knows your lot. He loves you deeply. But you must humble yourself under him. Don't be prideful. Think that you're above. Back in chapter 1, we're told, by God's power, we are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed. I don't need to prove myself. I don't need to be the hero. I need to humble myself under God's mighty protecting hand. So humility is that proper state of mind that acknowledges that there is one sovereign in this world, and it's not you and it's not me. We're not sovereign. He is. And he will move us and use us as he chooses. Humility is that proper state of mind that agrees there's one saviour in the world, and it's not you and it's not me. Are you prone to that saviour complex? You come running to the rescue. You solve everyone's problem. That's exhausting. That leads to anxiety. Yes, we are eager to serve, want to help, but we leave it under God's control. Humility is that proper state of mind that embraces that there's only one timetable of events, and that's God's, not mine. What a blessing that is. Sure, make sure you leave enough time for the taxi. Plan. But God's sovereign. He's got it covered. I don't need to be full of anxiety. We are safe under his ruling hand. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. If we would have peace, if we would know comfort, we must be humble Christians. But secondly, then, be patient. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. You see, it's easier to be humble when everything is going well. Yeah. But what when it isn't? What do you want to do? Step in. Take control. Complain. And a lot of life is like that, isn't it? Well, a lot of my experience and my people in London would say that. Maybe it's easier down here in Sussex. I don't know. There's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of sickness. There's a lot of uncertainty in our lives, isn't there? What happens when you've been wronged and it isn't getting sorted? What happens when you've got this painful past? I can think of people that are still battling with something that happened to them in childhood, something that was just outrageous, and they battle with the scars of what that has done. What then? We can't just wave our hands and it goes, can we? We need to be humble and patient. At the proper time, he may exalt you. At the proper time, you will be vindicated. At the proper time, those wounds will be removed. It will happen, but not necessarily soon or in this life. There's no guarantee. Look at verse 10. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself, he personally himself, will restore, confirm, strengthen and establish you. Brother, sister, you will one day be free of all that baggage, of all that trouble. But you must be patient. I have no authority to tell you that there's a prayer you can pray, a procedure you can go through, a kind of a prosperity gospel approach that says, aha. No. We may limp through the Christian life, We may have heavy burdens through the Christian life. It's not all smiles. It's a valley of tears. Be patient, trusting that you're under his mighty hand, and in the proper time he will exalt you. The ESV isn't so helpful there where it says he may exalt you. That sounds like he might, doesn't it? That's just a bad phrasing for us. It's in that sense. He will. So, be humble. Be patient. What, then just stay silent? No. Be dependent. Thirdly, be dependent. Verse 7, casting all your anxieties on him. Your Father loves to hear your voice. Did you know that? Even if it's loud, he can take it. He wants you to cry out to him with all of that stuff that you're not going to tell me. And you probably wouldn't tell others, but you can tell him. That comes, that quote from Psalm 55, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Isn't that lovely? Our Father in heaven knows how prone we are to fear, how prone we are to worry. He's not unaware of that. And says, bring it to me. Bring it to me, all of it. Life is scary, isn't it? I mean, maybe some of us young and fit, we think, it's okay. But I tell you, life is scary. The older you get, perhaps you look back and think, life is scary. That COVID pandemic, that was scary for some people. I've got people in my congregation with chronic health issues. In the third week, 7 people I knew personally were dead. What was going to happen, people were thinking. 7 people that I knew personally had died of COVID in that first. Whoa! And I'm holed up in this big city with people that are really scared. Terrorism is scary, isn't it? We live in a city, my family. We know that we're where probably it's going to happen. I don't think Crowborough is high on the hit list, but I live just down the road from that Emirates Stadium. That's number 2. Priority in Islington. Number 1 is King's Cross Station. I'm in and out of there all the time. It's scary, isn't it? These aren't abstract. People get hurt. Maybe in your place of work. You think, you heard me this morning about being salt and light, but you're saying, but I know my boss has got a real agenda against the evangelical Christians. I know. It's scary, isn't it? I know people that ask for prayer that they might be able to stay in healthcare or in teaching because of the pressure on them. Maybe you've got a sickness, a trouble. And of course then there's always that final river, death. Death is scary. Let's not be sort of stoical and think, it's easy. No, these things are big. And the Lord doesn't want us to deny that. He wants us to tell him. He wants us to speak to him. The word casting, it's a preacher's sort of fun word, because it's an unusual word. It's only in 2 places in the New Testament. It's here and it's in Luke. You remember when the disciples went into Jerusalem before Passover and they rode in on the colt and they cast the clothes on the animal. Now, if you do that, what do you have to do? You have to let go. You can't throw and keep. And so the idea here is casting and letting go of them. Giving them to God. You can't hold on to them or you'll be an anxious Alice. You can't treat them like a big carrier bag. You carry one half, God, and I'll carry the other. No. You have to cast them on to him. So, throw your anxieties on the Lord. That's what you must do. That's what I must do. And that's what he invites us to do. It's not like he's playing hard to get. Cast them. Throw them. Speak to him. Call out to him. Be real with him. Tell him how it hurts, brother. Tell him what it's like, sister. in the secret place, on your own. Tell him. He knows. He wants to hear. It will do your soul good as you show your faith by telling him your anxieties. And it's all our anxieties, isn't it? It's not just the big ones, it's the small ones. Other people might say, well, you don't need to bother with that. Well, if it's a big thing for you, if it's an issue for you, call out. Call out. What a wonderful truth. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs and pains to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer. Do you want comfort this week in your walk with the Lord? Then whatever it is, give it to God. Call out to him. Let him know. Be humble. Be patient. Be dependent. Why? Because you can be confident. Brother, sister, you can be confident because he cares for you. That's an absolutely copper-bottomed, certain promise from God. If you are one of his children, he cares for you. He does. That's it. It's written there, isn't it? Underline it. Blow it up. Put it on a post-it note. Stick it on your fridge. Make it your phone reminder when you open up. What a wonderful truth. Whether you're at 38,000 feet, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, he cares for you. So much that he sent his son to die, to suffer, that he might bring you to himself. Now, you might say, well, I think all this testing is some kind of a lack of love. It's punishment. No, it's not. Your faith may be tested in order to prove it's genuine. It may be tested in order that others would see your faith and ask questions. It's another great way of being in light, isn't it? Maybe some of you have read the book, Living with the Big C, Jeremy Marshall. What an opportunity when people looked at him, a guy with terminal cancer, and the confidence that he had. Was it raw? Was it hard? Yes. But he was able to speak of his confidence because Jesus cares for him. And the wonderful thing here, Jesus doesn't just care for the strong and fearless followers. He cares for the most weak and fearful of his children. So if you're saying, you know what, I'm not very humble, and I'm not very patient, and I'm not very dependent, have I lost it? No, you haven't. He still cares for you. But you'll probably feel rough, because you're not taking hold of the things you can take hold of if you're humble, patient, and dependent. Who's writing these words? Peter, isn't it? What do we know about Peter? Oh, go back a bit. Oh yeah, he's the guy that just as Jesus was going to the cross, was denying him, wasn't he? He was denying his Lord. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. The older man Peter writes this. He's saying to these scattered Christians, I know that he cares for you. Because man, he cared for me when I was a young, rather overconfident follower. He prayed for me. That my faith would not fail. He prayed that he would keep with me. That I would keep with him. What a testimony of God's love and care for a man who publicly denied his Lord. So Peter, the older, more experienced man, writes and says, brothers, sisters, around the Roman Empire, facing perhaps the imminent threat of persecution and death, humble yourself. Be patient. be dependent, but above all, be confident. Jesus has got you, just like he's got me. So there are four truths to draw out of these verses. Have they been an encouragement to you? Or have they actually just made you feel worse? Thanks, Mr. Preacher. Is this possible? Has anyone ever done this? I hope the last 20 minutes haven't made you feel worse. But is there an example? And being found in human form, Jesus humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Where do we look in our darkest moments? We look to Jesus, don't we? What humility. The very Son of God becoming like us, to be abused by us, to save us to himself. Was he patient? Wow. For 30 odd years he lived in pretty much obscurity. And for 3 years of public ministry he was misunderstood. He was hounded by those who said they were serving Yahweh and yet clearly weren't. And even his followers, his disciples, man, they just kept getting it. The basics wrong. But he was patient, knowing when his time would come that he would do the work and save his people. Was he dependent? Well, how many times do we read of him going to pray, pouring out his soul to his Father? And he withdrew from them a stone's throw and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Think of that. Think of that, brothers and sisters. If you are willing, remove this cup from me. He gets what's happening. Nevertheless, not my will but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. Was he confident? Father, I desire that they also who you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Oh, righteous Father, even though the world does not know, I know you and these know that you have sent me. I've made known to them your name and I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. He never doubted his Father's love. He knew that he had his Father's care. At the last moment, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. How does that help you, brother, sister? Well, as you struggle, remember that he did that for you. Don't get me wrong, this isn't the high bar, try and follow in order to be saved. Please don't misunderstand me. I've not drawn your mind to Christ in order that you might think, even higher. No, no, no. He did that for you. So that he now is interceding for you. He's praying for you all the time. He's watching over you. And he knows your struggles and your difficulties. And yet he's reminding his Father, this one's mine. Help him. She belongs to me. Bring her relief. Jesus faced the ultimate danger, the ultimate challenge, so that he could secure you the victory. So that you could be confident one day you will be victorious. Cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. The Lord Jesus died to save you from your pride, from your impatience, from your lack of trust, and for those moments when you think that God does not love me and I'm all alone and this is too much. Jesus died to save you from those sins. And by his Spirit, he is now at work in you, putting you back in those situations so that he might grow your faith, so that your faith would be proved genuine. Don't quit flying to New York if you're anxious. Just remember these truths. And then tell everyone, the Lord was with me. Don't retreat from trouble. Don't hide from challenge. Humble yourself. Be patient. Dependent. Remembering the Lord's love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you do love your people. And you've demonstrated it in the most amazing way by dying on the cross. And we thank you that that's the proof. But, oh Lord, help us in the moments of anxiety to remember these truths. Help us to remember that you're sovereign, that you're good, and that you're wise. And that nothing happens by accident or mistake. That you are using this to grow us and to help us shine forth. We pray you'd help us this week in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's sing a song that reminds us there he is up on the screen already. When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. Let's stand as the music starts. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time and now and forever.